You're listening to the podcast that dares not speak its name. And now, public access channel WFUQ in Sheboygan, Wisconsin presents the first annual Fake Sean Connery Valentine's Day special. And now, the Lake Michigan Convention Center is proud to present Sir Fake Sean Connery. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Yes. Thank you. My, it is great to be here. I love Valentine's Day. I love variety show specials. And I love myself. What's not to like? Hopefully the ratings will be high on this, so that I can afford to do it again. If not, well, as a great man once said, at least I know I tried. So, tonight, we'll be talking about romance. We'll be talking about the greatest day of the year, Valentine's Day. And we will be having a couple of guests. I almost said special guests, that's what the teleprompter said, but I skipped that. And some songs. Some old, some new. Some borrowed, some blue. Who writes this? So, I just flew into town, and boy is my scrotum tired. No, seriously, folks. There's a lot of poverty in the world. That's all. Just wanted to mention that. I'm happy to be here, and that reminds me of a song by Mr. Pharrell Williams. What? No, I can't hear you. It sounded like you said you f***ing hate this song. Oh, you did say that. Really? Why wouldn't you?
It's the hat.
The hat? All right, well, I'll give you that one. I would have also accepted he looks like a ferret. But beggars can't be choosers. Let's see. Let's start out with a song, one of the classics in my book, and we'll go right on into the program. Hit it, Rich Outfield. Sorry, I couldn't think of anyone who might be able to hit it for me. Why do birds suddenly appear every time you are near? Just like me, they long to be close to you. Why do stars fall down from the sky every time you walk by? Just like me, they long to be close to you. On the day that you were born, the angels got together and decided to create a dream come true. So they sprinkled moon dust in your hair, of golden starlight in your eyes of blue. Yes, I'm singing it. That is why all the girls in town follow you all around. Just like me, they long to be close to you. There you go, Close to You, by the Carpenters. It's a sweet song, made even sweeter by my dulcet tones. So, I've asked a couple of special guests, Andrew Shoutfield, to join me here today, and we'll get them out one at a time, see if we can't entertain you for the next hour. So, the first guest we've got with me today needs no introduction. so they didn't provide him one. The host of the Rish Outcast, I suppose. Rish Outfield, come on out. Folks, please, a little applause, please. All right, thank you. Thank you, sir. Apparently that's your mother there in the audience. Speaking of your mother, fake Sean, please. I said I'd come out on one condition, and that was that I not make fun of your mother. No, I'll let you know the condition in a moment. Oh, dear. So how have you been, Rish?
I've been all right. Thanks for asking. It's been a weird new year.
Well, I imagine everything is weird where you are. You're an odd duck, you know that.
Well, if it walks like a... Never mind.
Never mind is right. How has it been a weird year?
Well, I was doing a lot of writing. I've been really, really trying to buckle down, get some work done on that, and put my stuff out there, put me out there more. I've been a coward for so long.
Oh, yes, you don't have to tell me. I've known you for a few years now.
Yeah. The thing is, I am...
You can say it, boy.
Well, I'm getting up there in age, and I've been miserable and alone for a really long time, and I...
You can say it, lad.
Well, you know, you do some soul-searching, and especially at the start of a new
Just
year...
Just say you're having a midlife crisis, by God.
I guess I'm having a midlife crisis. I mean, it could be worse. I could be sitting in here alone, talking to myself.
Yes, that would be awful. So what did you do? Did you get a sports car?
Well, I can't afford a sports car.
Did you go on a vacation, hoping to recapture your youth?
No, I can't afford a vacation.
Did you cheat on your wife by any chance?
No, I can't afford...
To cheat on your wife?
To have a wife. But it's a funny thing. I considered, briefly, piercing my ear.
Oh, no, lad, really?
Yeah, you had pierced ears in Highlander.
Yes. I also said I was a Spaniard in that.
Right, but yeah, I considered piercing my ear. I just thought, okay, well, maybe it would make me feel young.
Oh, Rish. It would make you look like a buffoon at any age.
Really?
Oh, yes, yes. Saner heads prevailed, right? You changed your mind before you went in to get your ear pierced?
Well, I couldn't afford it.
Oh, well. You still dodged a bullet there, lad. But what is bringing all this on? Why? I heard that you wrote 3 stories in a week.
Well, no, it was 10 days.
3 stories in 10 days? What are you, Brandon Sanderson or something?
Oh, fake Sean, don't get me started on Brandon Sanderson.
Why? What's wrong with Brandon Sanderson? He's a beautiful man with various awards, best-selling books, and a huge, long penis.
Brandon Sanderson is not human. We can't compare ourselves to him. The stuff that he puts out, the amount of stuff, those shitty books that he writes for kids.
Sour grapes, Rish.
You can't compare yourself to him. You have to compare yourself to yourself or to at least somebody whose output is achievable. I mean, he's like Lieutenant Commander Data or something.
Well, I don't understand that reference.
It's from Battlestar Galactica. You wouldn't understand. But yeah, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to bring up Brandon Sanderson.
Well, actually, I brought him up. Although, technically, you know. But what brought all this on?
Nothing brought it on. Just the calendar, where I am in the calendar, where I am in my life.
Rish.
A girl. There was a girl. I met a girl. I looked at the girl. From the moment I saw her, I was just like, oh, whoops, where, what have I been doing with my life? Oh, no, I have been half living. Maybe not even half.
Yes, the math on that is 43%.
Oh my gosh, look how alive she is.
Young.
And vibrant.
Young.
And just full of...
Young.
Zest, if that's a word.
Well, it's certainly a soap.
I saw her and it was like I had been drugged.
Not in a good way.
And suddenly the drugs had worn off and I was fully awake. And I just said, that is what I want. I mean, her, yes. but more, I want to be alive like that. I can't think of a word for how she is. How about joie de vivre? What is that? French? It's Italian, I believe. But yes, that word is perfect. And I just, yeah, I have to admit, it just changed my outlook. I want it. Yes, I am attracted to her.
To say the least.
And, you know, I guess I fell in love with her a little bit.
Don't kid a kid.
But the thing is, she's just so
young,
alive, and I wanted to be alive too, even if I couldn't be with her.
You can't.
Fake Sean, are you saying something into the microphone that I can't? Every time you turn your head away?
No, nothing. Jeez, she's so young. It's like someone I would date.
Well then, you should have some very good feelings about Valentine's Day then. This new love interest. No, sorry. This new girl in your life. This new very, very, very young girl in your life.
Don't push it, Fake Sean.
No, I just, it's just my attitude. I'm trying so hard to be a better me.
Well, I guess I shouldn't mention the man you allowed to fall to his death on the sidewalk the other day.
No, you should not. You should not know about that. Have you read my blog?
No, and no one else has either.
Oh, okay, thank God. I posted this video of me singing the other day.
Singing? Well, that reminds me. This is a variety show. And they said I could do whatever I wanted, so I figured I'd do it my way.
Now, the end is near, and so I face the final curtain. My friend, I'll say it clear, I'll state my case, of which I'm certain. I've lived a life that's full. I traveled each and every highway. But more, much more than this, I did it my way. Yes, there were times, I'm sure you knew, when I bit off more than I could chew. But through it all, when there was doubt, I ate it up and spit it out. I faced it all and I stood tall and did it my way. I've loved, I've laughed and cried, I've had my fill, my share of losing, and now, as tears subside, I find it all so damned amusing to think I did all that, and may I say, not in a shy way. Oh no, not me. I did it my way. For what is a man? What has he got? If not himself, then he has not to say the things he truly feels, and not the words of one who kneels. The record shows I took the blows and did it my way. Yes, it was my way.
Thank you. Thank you. Like, Sean, that's not even a romantic song. That's not a love song or anything like that. I thought you were going to do love song.
Like I said, I can do whatever the bloody hell I want. Are you going to stop me?
Well, I have to edit the episode, so I guess in a way I could stop you.
No! Don't you dare cut off my... Well, you can cut a verse.
I already have. You know, Fake Sean, that's funny that you did a Sinatra song. That totally reminds me. Have you spent much time in Las Vegas?
A little, yes, over the years. I remember Vegas back when it was Vegas, instead of this Disneyland for perverts it's become.
Well, yeah, I guess. But I worked in Las Vegas. Boy, I guess it would have been 2 summers. And yeah, the heat is really bad. But it was a very interesting experience. I
What did you do?
Thank you for asking. Mostly I worked in construction.
You, with your arms.
Well, I didn't do it well. But I actually had a kind of interesting job.
We'll let the audience decide that.
I got to be a tour guide for, it was just a couple of weeks, but we would do this tour around Vegas in an air-conditioned bus, and we'd take people around, mostly the Strip and a little bit downtown, to show them the famous historical sites, you know, like this is the place Elvis got married in 1959. This is where Frank Sinatra threw a maitre d' down the stairs for suggesting he remove his hat. You know, this is the spot where the car chase in Diamonds Are Forever was shot. Or what ended, at least. This is the building where Howard Hughes bottled all of his fecal matter. And, you know, this is the alley where Frank Sinatra punched a woman in the stomach for criticizing Robin and the Seven Hoods. You know, that sort of thing.
And let me guess, you were fired.
How did you guess?
Oh, Rish.
So, Valentine's Day, what are you planning on doing, spending it with?
Do you want to ask that question again?
How are you planning to spend your bleeding Valentine's Day?
Well, luckily, there's a writers' conference that I go to every year.
I never stop talking about
it. And it is on the 13th, 14th, and 15th this year. And so I will be somewhere, hopefully my mind will be engaged and I'll get super excited to write and produce more stuff. And I won't think about the day.
Oh, Rish, you'll think about the day.
You'll think about it more than you ever have before. I pity you. The way you pitied me when you asked me to do I'm Just a Girl by No Doubt that time.
Oh, God. Fake Sean, I'm so sorry about that.
Now we're even. This Valentine's Day is going to hurt, lad. But you're strong. You're stronger than you think you can be. Hell, every listener out there is stronger than they think they can be. That reminds me, I'm going to set up an Instagram page where I say motivational things.
Are you really?
Well, maybe. I might.
That's brilliant.
You're welcome.
Rish, you've got to go on. You've got to keep trying. Just each day, you need to get up and say tonight. Wait, I almost started another song.
What song? What was it going to be?
I've got a feeling that tonight's gonna be a good night. That tonight's gonna be a good night. Feeling
woo-hoo.
That tonight's gonna... Wait, why did you do that? You ruined my song.
Sorry.
No, but you have to have a positive attitude. Look, with your face, I can understand you getting down. But a positive attitude can take you a long, long way.
Are you about to sing another song? Let me see the list.
Did you really have me do You Spin Me by Dead or Alive?
I did, but I don't think I ever ran it. Oh, no, I did run it. I don't know if I ran it or not.
Will someone remind him to run that song? That was like 4 years ago. Rish, what was it that you said you wanted to do in return for letting me do this whole ad-libbed car wreck of a show? Well, I'm embarrassed to say it now. You, embarrassed? You've been talking to yourself for half an hour now.
I know, but you're a character, and I can say things with you. Okay, you know when you learn another language, eventually the synapses in your brain, and I don't know if they're synapses, but they're parts of your brain, they change. And you no longer have to translate to that other language. Your brain just automatically switches to that. It's like, now I speak this other language, I think in this other language.
I suppose. I played a Russian once.
Okay. That's how it is with you, Fake Sean. Is I don't even have to think. I flip like some kind of mental switch and your voice comes out and I don't know what you're going to say. I don't have to think about it.
Well, I'm insulted. I choose to be insulted by that.
Okay. That's fine. Fake Sean, I had wondered if... Okay, one of my absolute favorite songs. One of my dream songs to sing with someone.
Oh, no, I know what it's going to be.
Yeah, of course you do. I want to do Endless Love with
me.
Why are you making that face?
No reason.
Now, come on. You think that's a bad idea?
Well, I'm starting to believe all of this was a bad idea.
Yeah, I feel like I might have to agree with you.
Look, I'm not going to sing Endless Love with
you. Okay, since you won't sing this song with me.
Ah, truth comes out.
I wondered if maybe we could do a scene together.
A scene? For Valentine's Day?
Well, yeah, that's what all of this garbage is.
Well, yes. Like I said, I'm not going to do the song with you, but yes, I'll do a scene. Go ahead. What is it? So something from a romantic film, from Robin and Marion. Or, you know, the scene from Goldfinger where you'll say, my name is Pussy Galore, and I'll say, I must be dreaming, that kind of thing?
Yes. Except for it's from Notting Hill.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah. The scene in the bookshop, the fairly level-headed bloke scene, I would like to do that as a dramatic reading with you.
Oh, all right. And you'll do the I'm also just a girl line?
No, let's have you do that.
Oh, Rish, no. My reputation will never recover.
Well, I hate Valentine's Day. I hate it more than any day in the year. And yet I'm wasting hours, literally hours, doing a Valentine's Day episode. So I think you owe that to me, okay?
You've got a point, definitely, Rish. And I can see you're motivated. This lash, this very, 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 very young lash, girl, actually, has made an impact on you. I can see that. So yes, for her sake, I will do the scene. I'm assuming you will be doing the part of William, and I will be doing the part of Anna Scott.
Yes. Let's start with, the thing is, I have to go away today.
The thing is, I have to go away today. But I wondered, if I didn't, whether you might let me see you a bit. Or a lot, maybe. See if you could like me again.
But yesterday, that actor asked you who I was. Oh, should I do an impression? And you just dismissed me out of hand. I heard you had a microphone. I had headphones.
You expect me to tell the truth about my life to the most indiscreet man in England?
Oh, then the assistant comes in. He mistakes her for Demi Moore, and then he leaves.
Sorry about that. That's fine. There's always a pause when the jury goes out to consider its verdict.
Anna, look, I'm a fairly level-headed bloke, not often in and out of love, but can I just say no to your kind request and leave it at that?
Yeah, yes,
That's fine. Of course, I... You know, I... Of course, I'll just... be getting along then. Nice to see you. But the truth is... with you, I'm in real danger. I... It looks like a perfect situation. Apart from that foul temper of yours, but... my relatively inexperienced heart would, I fear, not recover if I was once again cast aside, which I would absolutely expect to be. There are too many pictures of you everywhere, too many films. You'd go and I'd be, well, buggered, basically.
I see. That really is a real no, isn't it?
Look, I live in Notting Hill. You live in Beverly Hills. Everyone in the world knows who you are. My mother has trouble remembering my name.
Okay. Fine. Fine. Good decision. The fame thing isn't really real, you know? Don't forget, I'm also just a girl. Standing in front of a boy, asking him to love her. Bye.
Hey, Sean, that was great. Yeah, I felt the pathos when you were delivering those lines.
Well, I have an Oscar.
I know, but still. I thought that this would be funny, but it was nice.
Well, thank you.
Rish, listen. About the girl. The very, very young girl.
Oh, very. Jacious, Rish. She's so young.
Yeah, it's like there was a Lifetime movie. There are all these billboards around L.A. She's too young!
Yes. Cut that bit, would you? It was awful.
No, it wasn't meant to be funny. It was a memory.
Yes, well, listen to me. The girl, she's not for you.
It's not going to work out.
One day, either she's going to be gone. That's the most likely scenario. Or you're going to be gone. I mean, if you knew her from a job, you would have been sacked already. But she's going to be gone. And I need you to be strong and think of how you felt when you'd walk out and you'd say, oh, wow, I'm alive. I'm so passionate right now. How do I channel all this energy into something positive rather than the spank bank you typically go to?
Spank bank? No, I'm a Chase customer.
Perhaps I can explain it to you through song.
Fake Arnold. It's been 7 hours and 15 days since you took your love away. Has it? You've been watching the clock? No. I go out every night and sleep all day. Since you took your love away. Are you trying to make me jealous? Is that it? It's not
working. Since you've been gone, I can do whatever I want.
I suppose that's true. I can see whomever I choose.
Well, you will anyway.
I can eat my dinner in a fancy restaurant.
Right.
But nothing, I said nothing, can take away these blues. Cause nothing compares to you.
I have to say, myself, it's been so lonely without you here.
Yes?
Like a bird without a song. Oh. La 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 la.
Is that a tear in your eye?
Nothing can stop these lonely tears from falling. Tell me, baby, where did I go wrong?
Well, I have a list here, starting with you ate in bed.
I could put my arms around every boy I see.
Could you now?
But they'd only remind me of you.
Oh. Ah, that's unfortunate.
I went to the doctor, and guess what he told me?
What did he say?
Guess what he told me? He said, girl,
he called you
better
a girl?
Try to have fun no matter what you do. But he's a tool, cause nothing compares. Nothing compares to you.
Wow, you've given me quite a lot to think about, lad.
Yes, so have you. I was listening to your words and the tone of your voice while you were singing, and the way the light was hitting your bald head, and I'm not good with words. I'm more of a man of action.
Yes, you certainly aren't good with words. I can't really vamp anymore. Let's just get to the lyrics, all right?
All the flowers that you planted, Mama, in the backyard, they all died when you went away. I know that living with a baby was sometimes hard.
Well, it's...
But I'm willing to give it another try. Nothing compares. Nothing compares to you. Nothing compares. Nothing compares to you.
Together.
Nothing compares. Nothing compares to you. Let's kiss and make up. So what do you say?
All right. I can do better.
Wait, do you mean in the relationship or in the song?
Oh, we're all out of time.
Thank you. And thank you, Rish Outfield, for being my guinea pig, my guest on the show. Up next, we've got another friend, a podcasting friend. Do you not have actual friends, just people from the podosphere? He's gone. I think that song got to him. I think it spoke to him. I think it might have touched him in a way he's not used to being, well, you know. But yes, my next guest, she can be heard as host of the Journey Into podcast, and I must say we had quite a holiday together in Barbados once. Marsha Latham, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, sorry, Fake Sean, that's Marshall.
Oh, well, you must be very embarrassed. But I'm quite fond of your mother. You are the host of Journey Into, and
yes,
and you're back doing episodes.
Yes, we're doing journeys as well as other things.
Have you ever done a Valentine's Day episode of the Journey Into?
I never have done a Valentine's Day. In fact, I don't know if I've ever done. Well, no, I've had some romantic stories, I guess, in there. I don't know if that was the chief ingredient of the story, but
well, it's certainly the chief ingredient in my story. What are your feelings about the holiday?
I feel, and luckily my wife kind of shares the opinion, that it's a little bit overblown, that everybody tries to make more of it than it should be. It shouldn't all have to culminate in one day, one night, that you can spread it out over the whole year. So we don't really do, I was even talking to her this year, I said, do you want to go out? Do you want to just go to dinner or something, go to a movie, just get away out of the house for a little bit. And She said, no, that's fine. We don't need to do anything like that. So, not that big of a deal.
Well, did you find that once you'd had children, Valentine's Day meant less or meant something different to you?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it kind of changes things where, you know, sometimes it's just good enough to relax at home a little bit from all the things that are going on. And some of the hype is gone out of making a big deal out of Valentine's Day or things like that. We try to make more of our anniversary than we do Valentine's Day.
Ah, tell me, if you will, how did you first meet your wife?
Well, it's kind of a quaint story. I had moved down where she, in the area that she was at, and we were going to the same church together. In our church, we have, actually it's changed, but they used to call them home teachers, where you're assigned to go visit members of the congregation and make sure they're doing okay and see if they need anything and just kind of be their friends and their support. And so I was assigned, it was a singles ward where only young single adults went to the ward. And so I was her home teacher and would go to her house and talk to her and her roommate. Eventually I asked her out on a date and we kept it going and eventually got married.
And the roommate, did she resent this?
Actually, yeah, she kind of did. But they're still friends, so that's good. Yeah, because she had answered the phone when I called, and I talked to her briefly and asked, could talk to my future wife. and she said, sure. And then I heard later that after we got off the phone, she got grilled about, well, what did he want? What was he asking you about?
But you didn't say, can I talk to my future wife?
No.
If she had said, who do you mean by that?
Yeah.
That would have been quite an embarrassing story there.
That would have been even worse, yeah.
Whoever came onto the line, then you knew she was the one.
Whoever answers the phone is my future wife. We kind of had a group of friends that we did a lot of stuff with. Eventually, we kind of paired off a little bit, but we still did stuff as a group, but then we'd go off and do our own thing as well. So it was a good time. It was fun.
Did you and your wife have a song that was special between you?
Yeah, we did. It was Kenny Chesney's Me and You. That came more from me. I like all kinds of music, and country music is, I enjoy, probably more so then than I do now, but she claimed to hate country music and didn't like it. So I'd often try to sneak it in, but that song in particular, when I played it for her, she liked that song. And so I guess that was ours. So that was a song we had played at our wedding. So.
Wow, that's nice. I have to say it's after my time, however.
Ah, Engelbert Humperdinck, is that more your speed there?
Speaking of Humperdinck, no. Well, looks like your lucky day.
Ordinary. No. I really don't think so. Not a love. This true. Common destiny. We were meant to be, me and you. Like a perfect scene from a movie screen, we're a dream come true. Shoot it perfectly for eternity. That's me and you. Every day I need you more and more, and the night time too. There's no way I could ever let you go. Even if I wanted to. Every day I live, tried my best to give all I have to you. Thank the stars above that we share this love, it's me and you.
Do you have a romantic movie that you're fond of?
Yeah. The remake of Sabrina is kind of our...
Oh, with my boy in it.
Yes.
With the lad.
Yeah. We were...
Yes, I co-starred with... of course, I can't remember her name because I'm 80.
Julie Ormond was...
Yes. Julie Ormond was... Guinevere in my film First Night.
Oh, yes.
When
that's
I
right.
famously said, I loved you, trusted you, and how have you betrayed me? Didn't get any awards for that, unfortunately. Mm. Yes, Sabrina. I remember they said Ford's characters had the most ridiculous name. I want to say it was Linus Larrabee.
Yes, that was his name.
And they said he was the world's only living heart donor.
Yes.
Well, I don't know if you were paying attention in the green room when Rish was out here before, but oh, his sob stories, his endless diatribe of loneliness and self-pity. It's nice to have someone here who's had a fine history with romance.
Well, actually, you know, I kind of relate to Rish quite a bit in my growing up years, pining after the girl that I really didn't have a chance with, or, you know, being interested in somebody and not being brave enough to talk to them or ask them out, and then they end up going with a friend of mine or something like that. So I can kind of relate to that, but I eventually overcame that.
Rish will be delighted to hear that, I'm sure. What was that you were saying about, maybe we can pass that advice on to the boy.
Once I realized that asking somebody out on a date didn't mean I had to marry them, or that I was pining after them for so long, putting pressure on the situation before I even asked them out, and just realized, hey, I can just ask them out, we can go out and have a good time, and if we never go out on another date, that's fine, we had a good time. And once I started doing that, my confidence went up, and I just asked people and had several fun dates with different people, and it was a lot of fun. Well, most of them were fun.
Oh.
There were some bad dates in there, too.
Well, finally, yes, again, you have something in common with Rish. Tell us all about it. I'm sure it'll make him feel better.
Well, I had just moved into a new town, and I was living with some friends of mine. And there were several different people that I was interested in going on a date with, and got to talking to this one girl at a social event, and thought, oh, hey, I'll ask her out. Let's go out on a date. And there was a play in the area at one of the colleges, and it sounded like, you know, something that would be fun to go to. And so I invited her to go out to dinner and go to this play, and we went to Olive Garden. You know, we had a nice dinner and everything, and then when it was time to leave, I realized that I had left my wallet in the car. And it was, we had walked quite a bit to get to the downtown area. And so I said, well, I can go grab it real quick, but we'll probably be late for the play. And so she went ahead and paid for dinner, and I said, oh, thank you. You know, I was kind of embarrassed about that. So then we got to the car, and we started going to the college where this play was at. I didn't do any reconnaissance ahead of time, so I didn't know exactly where I was going, and we drove around and around and couldn't find the right place. And it was, you know, getting later and later, and the play had probably already started, and, you know, that was kind of before, you know, we had navigation on our phones, and It would have been really easy these days. But at that time, I hadn't done my homework. So we ended up deciding, okay, we're not going to be able to make it to the play. Then we said, well, I guess we could go to a movie or something. So we drove to a mall where there was a theater. And of course, none of the movies that we wanted to go to were playing. We had to wait a while. So we were just kind of walking around and talking. And I think I just kind of made a muttering comment to myself. I said, well, I don't know. You know, maybe we should just call it a night or something like that. And she's like, well, we could. And I could tell she was kind of upset about everything. And so I eventually took her home and said, hey, I'm sorry. You know, it didn't work out. And sorry about dinner. And we didn't go to the play and all that stuff. And I just kind of dropped her off at home and went home feeling like an idiot. I went to talk to her a few days after that. And she was just very short and, you know, ended the conversation quickly and got away from me. So I had offended her pretty bad, I guess. But I didn't even have a chance to give her the money that she had paid for the dinner. So I got her a card and put some money in it and sent it to her and apologized again. But alas, that was not a good showing for me on that one.
And was this someone you had quite fancied?
A little bit, but not, you know, again, it was kind of in that mindset where I'm like, well, you know, let's just go out and have fun. If it works out, it works out. If not, that's okay. And then later on, I met my wife, so it worked out.
Yes, all's well. It ends well. And you're only on your first wife?
Yes, only one.
By the time I was your age, I think I was on number three. but seriously, folks, I'm not one to rub my nose at romance and things that actually work out.
You betcha.
Excellent. Well, thank you, Marshall, for subjecting yourself to this low-level torture.
It's a pleasure to talk to you, Fake Sean.
Of course it is. Rish, are you still in the studio?
Yeah, Fake Sean, what do you need? Oh, did you change your mind on the song? No, I just... that last episode you did of the Doonstief. Oh, yeah, I think the last one we did was a Christmas episode. No, the final episode, the one that you recorded years ago for when, I don't know, when you put your arms inappropriately around one of Biggie's children or something. What is it with you and the young, the jailbait jokes? When Big finds out you called his daughter jailbait.
I didn't mean it. No, I thought you were referring, Fake Sean.
Listen. You did a final episode that's not aired, that was going to run after the show dies or you're no longer friends. The thing about his daughter.
Hey, did you just say daughter in a weird way? Like a non-fake Sean Connery way?
No. I said daughter.
Okay. I think you said it different. But yes, what's your point?
Well, in that one, there's a song.
Oh, is it a Third Eye Blind song? How's it going to be when you don't know me?
No, you go on and on about this new song you just heard on the radio and you were going to change the channel and then you decided not to.
Oh, and it really impacted me. Yeah, it was Katy Perry, back when she was relevant.
Yes, now you can go, Rish. Speaking of Katy Perry, this is one of my favorite new songs. Let's sing it.
Summer after high school, when we first met, we'd make out in your Mustang to Radiohead. And on my 18th birthday, we got matching tattoos. Used to steal your parents' liquor and climb to the roof. Talk about our future like we had a clue. Never planned that one day I'd be losing you. In another life, I would be your girl. We'd keep all our promises, be us against the world. And in another life, I would make you stay. So I don't have to say you were the one that got away. The one that got away. I was June and you were my Johnny Cash. Never one without the other, we made a pact. Sometimes when I miss you, I put those records on. Whoa, whoa. Someone said you had your tattoo removed.
Saw you downtown singing the blues. It's time to face the music. I'm no longer your muse. But in another life, I would be your girl. We keep all our promises. Be us against the world. And in another life, I would make you stay. So I don't have to say you were the one that got away. The one that got away. All this money can't buy me a time machine. No, can't replace you with a million rings. No, I should have told you what you meant to me. Whoa, 'cause now I pay the price. In another life, I would be your girl. We keep all our promises, be us against the world. In another life, I would make you stay. So I don't have to say you were the one that got away. The one that got away. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Whoa, 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 whoa. Whoa, 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 whoa. In another life, I would make you stay.
It's over. You're not supposed to be here anymore. My last guest tonight is another podcast. Oh, no, not another. The Parsec Award-winning host of the Doonstief Audio Fact... How do you say it week after week? Sorry, month after month. Doonstief Audio Fiction Magazine, host of the Ankle Cast, the multiple award not winning. Come on out, Big Anklevich.
Hey, how's it going, Fake Sean? It's great to be here.
Really? Well, that's a first.
Well, we'll see if it changes, I guess, as time goes by.
So, you and I have a couple of friends in common, and one of them is rather unfond, if that's a word, of Valentine's Day. Tell me your thoughts on that holiday.
You know, I've always been a bit of a stallion, so I've never had trouble with Valentine's Day. I'm sure you've heard from that friend of ours who isn't fond. While he was reading Lord of the Rings in high school, I'll let you fill in what it was that I was doing.
See, Lord of the Rings is a sticking point for me because I turned down millions of dollars not appearing in that film. I tend to burn every copy I find now. But Rish read it in high school. That's the primo time for intercourse.
That's right. That's what I was doing, sir. So, you know, I've always liked Valentine's Day.
Do you have a Valentine's Day memory of a time when it was particularly special or romantic or sweaty that you'd like to share?
I don't know if there's any that I can share. You know, I'm not one of those that kisses and tells, if you know what I'm saying. I'm too honorable.
Well, you see, that's why I never kiss them on the mouth. Do you go all out for that day? Do you get flowers and chocolates and vibrating devices and messages and love songs and mariachi players? And...
Let me give you that story. How's that sound? A particularly good Valentine's Day. One time, people who know our show well know that I work in news. So one time I was at work and we have, like, you know, the morning show dork guy who goes out and does, like, the goofy stories to keep people entertained in the morning show. And he went and talked to Barbershop Quartet Society or something like that. I guess they had a thing that was this. Valentine's Day was coming up and they had a deal where you could get a hold of them and you could order a barbershop quartet to go and sing to your beloved. And I thought that would be perfect. And it was super cheap too. I was really surprised at how inexpensive it was on top of it all.
Well, you see, they're on the dole 364 days of the year.
Yeah, that's probably totally true. So yeah, I got on and I ordered it and I wanted it to be maximum, I guess, embarrassment to go with that. So I had them show up at her work and I got a hold of somebody that she worked with to make sure that she got video with her phone for me of the delivery of this Valentine's Day present. And so these guys showed up and they sang a couple of songs to her. There's four guys and they were older retired guys, I think. And they sang, you know, those barbershop quartet favorites that you've all grown up listening to. Well, I suppose you probably did, Fake Sean, because you're what, like 100 years old, right?
I can't remember last, let's say around 85, 86.
Well, all right. We'll go with that. But anyways, yeah, barbershop quartets were probably big in your youth. But anyways, yeah, I think they sang Let Me Call You Sweetheart to her. And
yes, I'm in love with you.
Yes, and she just turned red and was embarrassed, as she often is when she becomes the spotlight. She's not somebody who wants to be in the spotlight like that, but she did complain a little bit that sometimes I do these kind of things, these grand gestures, instead of just the little things. I guess I don't do enough dishes. Instead, I try and make up for it by buying barbershop quartets for Valentine's Day. But, you know, I guess you got to balance the budget somehow.
Yes, the most embarrassing moment was when they handed her the bill afterward. Because she's the breadwinner in your family.
She was at work, after all, so, you know. She's going there for some reason, right?
Do you and your wife have a lot in common musically? Do you both enjoy the same kind of songs?
Not really. I was a metalhead when I was in high school, and I liked the heavy stuff. Where our interests cross over is she also did like monster ballads, and most of those heavy metal bands had one monster ballad per album that they used to get on the radio with, because they wouldn't get any airplay otherwise.
It just goes to show that every bad boy has his soft side.
That's right. Every rose has its thorn. But yeah, she mostly likes country music or just kind of pop music. I mostly grew out of pop music. After the 80s kind of expired, I became more into, you know, the hard rock kind of stuff. I guess there was a time in the 90s where like rock and pop were kind of the same, where you got bands like, I don't know, Sugar Ray and Smash Mouth. Things similar to that, where they were sort of rock but also very pop, and I liked that stuff okay, and she liked that stuff okay. So that was the short period where our interests merged. But mostly no, we don't really. She just tries to plug her ears when I put on my my music. We went on a long drive not too long ago and I listened to a bunch of CDs that I had, and she was just like, oh my God. I have tried not to say anything bad about any of the stuff that we've listened to on this drive, but can we put something else on, please? At least she's understanding.
And you felt the shame when she put on her music?
I do, for the most part, yeah. Luckily, she'll listen to 80s pop a lot, which I still liked pop when it was the 80s, so...
What was the name of the band? There was a band that your wife liked, and only Rish of all the Americans knew of this band. And she had like their greatest hits. And you're just like, greatest hits? They have no song that ever played on any radio. And Rish is like, but they had this song, and they had this one, and that one that they did with Brian Adams. And you were horrified. Do you remember this?
Yeah. What was glass something? Glass.
Glass tiger. Yes.
Glass tiger. That's it. Yeah. They had a song. What was their one song? Do you remember what it was, Fake Sean? Because it's not coming to me.
Well, didn't they sing "Don't Forget Me When I'm Gone"?
Was that them? Okay. Was it?
Well, I don't know. The one they did with Bryan Adams was called "Someday."
Yeah, "Someday." Oh, yes, they did do "Don't Forget Me When I'm Gone." Well, there you go. For some reason, I wanted to ascribe to them one of the songs by the Damn Yankees. I wanted to say "High Enough," but that was definitely not them.
Because of all the intercourse you were having in high school, perhaps there are people out there who could use some romantic advice from you.
Okay.
Biggie, what kind of advice would you give to any poor sod who is still listening at this point of this endless podcast?
It's hard to give really good advice because when I was doing well in high school, it was all just based on the fact that I was so unbelievably handsome. The girls just came running and I didn't have to do anything. I was like, you know, the pretty girl who has no personality because she's never needed to develop it to attract someone. Since those days left me behind and I got really, really fat and just slobbish and disgusting, then I had to freshen up my personality a little bit. So I might be laying it on a little thick here. Sorry, everybody. Anyways, I would say definitely work on your personality. You know, if you want to really impress a girl, have something to say and treat them like they're a person. You know, I mean, I know that a lot of guys get a little tongue-tied and a little nervous around somebody that they like. Just pretend, maybe for some people this isn't even hard. Pretend like she's your sister. Maybe she is your sister, depending on where you're listening to this. Pretend that she's your sister. You can hang out and talk with your sister and not feel weird about that, you know? Just have a good time and talk to him. Be confident, because that's what actually attracts a woman. No women look at a guy and think, wow, he's handsome. Well, I mean, some do, but mostly they don't think that way. They think you're handsome when they find out how confident and how able you are, I guess. I think that's really the key. That's what's going to get you
into their pants.
Oh, wait, that was your line. Sorry.
Is that how I sound to you?
Yes, exactly like Fat Bastard. Isn't that who you're playing? Isn't this the fake Fat Bastard show?
Well, that Scottish accent was better than my Russian accent, so oh well. Yes, Rish, our buddy Rish, has never gotten past this awkward stage. He said once that the hardest thing he ever had to do in his life was call a girl he liked on the phone. Now, do you believe that nonsense?
Oh, Rish.
Even now in 2020, I heard him talking the other day. Perhaps he was talking to you. Sometimes I pop out of thin air just to listen, and once I get disgusted, I disappear again. He tried to approach this girl that he likes. He got within like 2 feet of her and turned on his heels like he was a soldier doing about face and headed for the exit. Oh, the laughs I had at his expense over that. What a worm. I just, it's starting to be hard to keep the smile on my face here.
Good times.
That was in 2020, if I hadn't pointed that out loudly enough.
Ah. All right. Well, I guess Rish needs to listen to your variety show and check out my advice, because...
Yeah, well...
It's... probably useless, unfortunately. I haven't chased a girl in 20 years because, you know, I'm a happily married man, Fake Sean.
Wait, I'm sorry. I was trying to make a joke and I missed. Did you say you are happily married so you haven't kissed a girl in 20 years?
No, I said I haven't chased a girl in 20 years.
It's like I've been married since 1998, so I haven't kissed a girl in 20 years. No, I was going to say, unfortunately, Rish is in the lavatory right now, crying at the urinal. But if he were to come out, I'm sure he could make use of your good advice.
Well, hopefully he can listen back to the recorded version of it. I know that he really respects all the things I have to say.
Oh, Biggie, if you only knew. He can be such a bastard. If only, instead of doing it behind closed doors, someone might mistake that for confidence.
Yeah, there you go.
No, you know, I have to agree with you on the confidence thing. There are people, and they just exude confidence. People can look at that person and say, there must be something about them for them to walk that way and hold their heads high and speak without any stammering, second-guessing themselves. I want to know that person better. Yes, I only wish that Rish had just the modicum of it. No, that's good advice. Perhaps if this episode is successful, Rish can come back next year and tell everybody how fine his Valentine's Day was. Sorry, I wasn't able to deliver the line without laughing. But you never know.
Yeah. Pigs may fly.
Yes. So what are your Valentine's plans this year, Big?
Oh, sadly, I work Valentine's Day. And so does my wife. So we always just do stuff on whatever weekend falls closest to Valentine's. So yeah, my Valentine's Day plans this year is getting the news ready for all the people who want to know who got shot on Valentine's Day and who got involved in a hit and run accident on Valentine's Day and all that kind
of
stuff.
Well, if it bleeds.
It leads. That's right. So that's what I'll be doing for Valentine's. I don't know. I think we'll probably go out to dinner on Saturday, the day after Valentine's. I've been doing this crazy diet called the carnivore diet recently, so I'll probably have to steer her to some kind of a steakhouse as opposed to the Italian pasta restaurants. But she can find stuff that she likes there, and I can find huge cuts of meat. And nothing would make me more happy on Valentine's Day than being out with my wife and having a large cut of meat.
That is a euphemism, right?
Yes and no.
Well, I want to thank you for sharing this variety show with me and your advice. I do pray that Rish can take some of it to heart. But we're here celebrating this glorious day, even if he doesn't appreciate it like we do.
That's right. I've heard that it was on this day that you and Catherine Deneuve...
made the beast with two backs.
Right. I think I've heard that from you about six times, actually.
It was only three times, but it was a hard day. I'd worked a full shift making Goldfinger. So thank you for that reminder of better times. And may your Valentine's be truly glorious. In fact, may your whole month of February be so magical, there's an extra day there on the end.
Ooh, that sounds good. Thanks, Fake Sean.
Thank you, Biggie. And good night.
See ya.
I want to thank my guests. Rish Outfield, Crown Prince of Losers, Marshall Latham of the Journey Into podcast, and B.D. Anklevich, Biggie to me and you, of the, the Ankle Cast, something like that. And that's all the time we've got for today. Thank you. One thing before I go. I hope that there is romance in your life. Whether you're married, whether you're divorced, whether you're hopeless like Rish Outfield. Hey, Sean, come on, man. Or whether it's somewhere in between. Let's keep the spirit of Valentine's Day alive. You know, a chance to express your feelings to someone. And be grateful that you have feelings. You could be a hollowed out shell like Rish Outfield is most of his life. For Christ's sake, Fake Sean. Not feeling anything. Walking around like you're a reanimated corpse in a George Romero movie. One of the later ones. The terrible ones. Just be happy that you're still around. You're still able to feel. Oh, Rish, come back out here. I was about to do my last song. I've got to call you on something right now, right in front of all these people. Did you or did you not tell people that the real Sean Connery was going to die in 2019? Oh, gosh, I did. You told people that publicly. I did. In fact, isn't it true? You recorded at the end of 2018 a Sean Connery tribute episode to release when he died. Yeah, I did. And you recorded songs for that too, didn't you? I did. Well, I expect an apology on behalf of real Sean Connery, on behalf of the listeners, well, on behalf of a third party later to be determined. I want an apology. No, I freely give it. I don't know why. I had this gut feeling that he was not going to live. And so I sat down and I recorded that. Like the Katy Perry song in the final episode of the Doonstief, there was a song I recorded. It was brand new. And I taught it to myself, not well. Oh, sorry, that was your line. Not well. And then, yeah, that song is long forgotten now because real Sean Connery didn't die. You're kind of hoping he does now, aren't you? No. No, I'm not. All right. I suppose I can accept your apology. But go away and don't come back. Okay, thanks. Thanks, everybody. Thanks for listening all the way through this episode, guys. It means a lot to me. I said shut up. Get out of here. All right, so what was I saying? Oh, don't live your life empty. Be grateful that you have feelings. Be grateful that you're not. Look, even Rish Outfield has his positive traits. We all do. Nobody is a complete and total failure. Not even Rish. I hope you have gotten a couple of smiles and chuckles out of this episode, and that your Valentine's Day next year is a fine one. Before I go, here's one final special guest. Like Arnold?
Yes. You know, I've been sitting behind that big blue curtain for an hour now, waiting for you to call me, and I've had to go to the bathroom for about 45 minutes, but I refused to go because I knew that the second that I stepped away to go to to use the toilet, that you would call me and I would, and it would ruin the whole show. And so
what is your point?
I had an accident. It's kind of embarrassing.
Yes, of course it is. Let's sing a song together, a duet, you and me, to take us to the credits. Good night, everyone. And you are enough.
My love, there's only you in my life. The only thing that's bright. My first love, you're every breath that I take. You're every step I make. And I want to share all my love with you. No one else will do. And your eyes,
they tell me how much you care.
Oh, yes,
you will always be
my endless love.
Fake Arnold, let's let Rish take this verse, please.
Really?
Yes. Come on, Rish.
Two hearts, they're two hearts that beat as one. Our lives have just begun. Forever, I'll hold you close in my arms. I can't resist your charm. and love. I'll be that fool for you, I'm sure. Oh, you know I don't mind.
Oh, you know I don't mind.
'Cause
I know,
I found in you my endless love. Fake Arnold, just hang back for a moment. Well, Rish finds this song to be sacred, and frankly, you're awful.
Oh no.
Let's just let the two of us finish, huh?
But I...
Bum, 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 bum. Bum 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 bum.
Whoa, and love,
oh love,
I'll be that fool for you, I'm sure.
Well, you know I don't mind.
Oh, you know I don't mind.
Yeah,
you'll be the only one. 'Cause no one can deny this love I have inside, and I'll give it all to you.
My love,
my endless love.
Happy Valentine's Day, my friend.
Same to you, Fake Sean.
Thanks, everybody.
See you next time.
The podcast that dares not speak its name is still produced under a Creative Commons Attribution No Derivatives license.
That license enables you to share the file with anyone, but not to charge for it or alter it.
You can donate per episode by visiting www.patreon.com/RishOutfield. Or you can tip him through PayPal via his blog. Logo by the talented and generous Gino Moretto. And thanks to Kevin MacLeod of Incompetech.com for his music.
Do you have a story if I ask about your most, you know, your favorite Valentine's Day memory or?
Not really.
Wait, you want me to sing the bloody theme to the Beverly Hillbillies? I just want to see if you can do it. Of course I can do it. I can do whatever you do, but with clash and dignity and raw sexual charisma. Okay, let's hear it.
Well, let me tell you a little story about a man named Jed. A poor mountaineer barely kept his family fed. Then one day he was shooting at some food, and up through the ground come a bubbling crude.
Oil, that is. Black gold, Texas tea.
Thank you, Fake Arnold. Well, the next thing you know, old Jed's a millionaire. The kinfolk said, Jed, move away from there.
California's
the place you ought to be. So we loaded up the truck and we'd moved to Beverly. I almost screwed it up there.
Hills, that is. Swimming pools, movie stars. That was terrible, Fake Sean.
It was your idea.
Yeah, but... Let's just use that as an outtake, okay?
Yes. For once, I agree with you, lad.